Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, hey, everybody. I want to welcome you to the Transformation Cafe. I'm your host, Robin Misevich, and we're talking about leadership tonight. We're talking about new leadership for a new way forward, and I'm excited. We have Mr. Ross Bryant with us. Hey, Ross, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for joining us. Ross is the wonderful husband of my co-host, Miss Amy. How are you tonight?
Well, I'm excited to see how he's what techniques he's using on me to lead me. So I might be able to undermine them.
Well, I'm glad I'm not in the room. How about that? And we, as always, we have our wonderful chef in the house, Miss Alana, is with us tonight. Hey, Alana.
Hi, thank you for having me again tonight.
Oh, always, always welcome, sir. Girl, just sit up to the counter. Let's get going. We're going to get ourselves a little beverage. Let's make it happen here. So one thing we're going to be doing, if you guys have been a listener to the show, you know, in the past I've done some stuff talking about I'm a nature intuitive and I kind of specialize in flower messaging. And we're going to be starting a new segment with the flower wisdom because Alana and Amy were both like, you should talk about this stuff when we're on the air. And I'm like, okay. So I really kind of focused in on looking at leadership. And the flower that came up to me, which I think is interesting, some people would call it a flower, some people call it a weed. I think it's an amazing plant, is the dandelion. And boy, the dandelion, when you look at it, it's got so many things that really lean into leadership. And Ross will help me to put that out too, and then we get back to him. But dandelions are actually back in the 1800s, people would actually pull grass to let dandelions grow. And think about nowadays, we're out there with our Miracle-Gro and we're making sure the grass is growing. So there's something to be thinking about. Mm-hmm. And I've also heard with people who are naturalists that say, if you have dandelions growing in your yard, don't pick them. You need to eat them because it's basically nature's way of providing something right there in your lawn that can help you to stay healthy. So if you have any kind of congestion issues, if you need to be detoxing, all these people spend all this money to be detoxing, and it might be growing right out in your front yard. So there you go. One thing I really love about dandelions, too, is they represent all the different celestial bodies. So if you think about a dandelion, when it first grows, it's got that beautiful little yellow flower, and that represents the sun. And then once it goes ahead and matures itself and ready to go ahead and go to seed, it creates that beautiful moon, that glowing ball that has all the seeds ready to go out. And then once you blow the seeds out, the seeds go out, it's dispensing. They're saying it like it's just like the stars. It dispenses that out, and I think that's really beautiful. One thing that's really cool about the seeds can actually go, they've measured them, and they actually can go up to 5 miles away from the original plant. So when it comes to leadership, having something that can go out in the world and make a big impact someplace else and have its own leadership, I think that's really cool. And when they look at the root of a dandelion, they say the dandelion root is actually a really good substitute for coffee. So if anybody out there is like thinking, I need to cut down on my coffee, try some dandelion root. It could be something that could be satisfying you for that kind of thing without the caffeine and things like that too. And their root is called a tap root because it's so long it can grow up to 3 feet into the ground. So whether there's drought situations or anything like that, they're tapping in so deeply and grounded that it really helps them to have that strong foundation while they're up on top being, you know, praising the sun and keeping up with it and all that good stuff. They're really deep rooted and being grounded and having that foundation that can be really strong for all those things that are growing around it. And one thing too with the dandelions is they actually will open with the sun and they track the sun as they go along. And in the evening, they close back up again to go ahead and rest for the summer, for the evening. And I think that's such a good model because I've listened to 4 or 5 different things about, you know, the top 10 things that leaders do and stuff like that. And so many of them say they get up super early, they're up with the sun, and they're basically taking that first hour or so to basically take care of themselves. They do a lot of self-care. And so whether it's working out or taking some time to journal or have meditation or just having quiet time so they can be in a time of reflection for themselves, so they can feed themselves first so they can go out in the world and be able to have that kind of energy to be able to engage and be listening to others. I think that's so wonderful to have all those different things. So I just really encourage people to look at the dandelion. If you have any kind of medical issues, there's all kinds of things on a medicinal level that it's really good for. And pretty much every part of the dandelion is useful. It's flowers, it's seeds, just about everything on that. And it's also the longest flowering plant. I'm going to say that again. Longest flowering season for a plant. So if you think about that, we're like, yeah, I have all those dandelions in my yard. Well, you know, can be back in a place where it's grown there, so I guess it's good for me. So just kind of take that for the leadership that it really models. So what did you think about that, Ross?
Well, I think from the dandelion, I think when you were talking about the seeds being spread miles away, you know, I grew up in the Army. My background, 40 years of leading units and departments, most of that was in the Army. In the Army, they invest greatly in young soldiers to become junior leaders. In every stage of your career, they send you to leadership schools. You're assigned mentors who have years of experience to invest in you. And then those leaders then carry on the legacy of the Army from generation to generation. And so if you think of that dandelion, it's the same deal. Those seeds spread far and wide. I mean, just recently during all this craziness, I was pretty down about dealing with COVID, and twice I got called by two cadets that I mentored and trained with my ROTC leadership team, and they got commissioned in 2002, and they pinned on Lieutenant Colonel in the Army on active duty on June 1st. And they've had about four or five deployments each. They've had all this experience now leading soldiers. They're the older version of what I was for them back in 2002. And then the fact that they called to thank me is, it's just like that dandelion where the seed has continued to go other places. And
oh, that's wonderful.
So I've tried to carry that on in my future leadership. I've been working at UNLV in four different departments for the last 15 years. But I still carry the same traits of leadership that I learned in the Army. The Army has a military values acronym that is leadership, and it's loyalty, duty, respect, selfless service, honor, integrity, and personal courage. And that's supposed to be the Army values that you try to live to. But if you study those and learn from those and, you know, critique good leaders, bad leaders, medium leaders, you could pick out those things they do well that you want to emulate, and you could also pick out things that didn't go well and figure out how you could do it better when you're in those leadership positions. And I'm just grateful for all the leaders who coached me and the blessing that I have to be given opportunities to lead to this day.
That's great. That's great. How about you, Amy? Want to jump in here?
Yeah, well, first I'd like, Alana, is there anything that comes to mind to ask Ross about leadership that comes to you?
Absolutely. I was just going, you know, we talk a lot on this show about tools that we use to, you know, for healing and for, you know, keeping our mindset in a healthy place. And I just wanted to ask Ross, what are some of the tools that you may use whenever, you know, everyone else is panicking and getting stressed out, you know, just knowing you and knowing about you? I know that you tend to get really still, and you are that solid, wise voice in the room whenever others might be panicking. And I wanted to know, like, what are the tools that you use to do that, to help you in that?
So that's a great question, and I'd like to go back to, so in the Army, I was a combat arms armor officer and cavalry officer, so we were on tanks. And so I commanded my own tank, and then I commanded a company of 150 soldiers and 14 individual tanks. And in a combat situation, when news comes to you that might not be good, like if we lost a soldier or an accident happened or combat you know, your ability to remain calm under pressure is paramount, because everyone is going to model what you do. An example is, you know, we had a leader that, it didn't matter his rank, it was a colonel, but he was just a yeller and a screamer, and he would berate everyone. And the more he yelled and screamed at everyone, the more terrified junior enlisted and younger soldiers got, to where they were paralyzed to not do what they need to do. And then if you got used to that berating and anger and emotional outburst kind of guy, no one ever followed him, because it was that no matter what was going on. On the exact opposite, if things are really getting to be stressful and hard, and you can get everyone to sort of, okay, let's just take a deep breath. What is the it? You know, what is the it? What are we upset about? What is the order, the directive, the guidance, whatever it might be? And then what is our course of action? And what do we need to do right now? And we've gone through some of that recently at the school. And that allows everyone to calm down and realize that, okay, we're in charge of what we control. Things we don't control, we're going to get the word out. We're going to get the information to everyone above us, everyone who can help us, and then the people that we're serving, as to this is what's going on and this is what we have to do. And that kind of calm leadership is really critical in critical times. Plus, when everyone is emotional and something comes down that is hard to digest, they're going to basically skew what's going on because they're emotional about it. So I've always learned that the second report is a lot calmer about what really went on. It could be where someone says, oh, my God, there's a terrible accident at the motor pool and someone's injured, this and that. And then the second report is, yeah, one guy fell and I think he's okay. He has a sprained ankle. But it's not like, oh, my God, someone died today. And so just trying to have that demeanor, you have to realize that your reaction results in everyone else's reaction. And it probably gets magnified 10 times if you're the leader.
So I've got to observe Ross, you know, in this sheltering and doing leadership. His office is right next door to my home office. Now he's actually gone back to work. Yay! And I miss him so much. And so, Ross, what I'd love you to talk about is, in observing that, how you, two very diverse offices, very diverse types of people that you're leading, and this is very frightening times for people from many different perspectives and jarring to who am I, what do I believe. So what are some of the things that you have implemented to support the workers as workers, but also the workers as individuals?
So first off, going remote is new for everybody, okay? And it's also a blessing and a challenge. So maybe you have more time at home, but you also have the stress of how do I get everything done when I don't have the same resources. And more importantly, I don't have the emotional support of talking to colleagues and being on a team. I'm now by myself at the house. So we established a series of GroupMe chats in the morning to make sure, number one, everyone was okay, and that everyone was healthy and nobody had come down with the virus or their family. Then it was also that check-in is to see that everyone's sort of clocked in at 8 o'clock, ready to go. And then I could send out in a group text the taskings that are priority for today. We would then have staff meetings on Zoom, which we learned how to do all that. And that way everyone could check in. And I attend all the meetings above my two departments. And what I do is I try not to waste anyone else's time. I'll be on a 2.5-hour meeting with my chain of command about all this detailed stuff. But then I basically can take all that information and boil it down to what my team needs to know for what we're trying to accomplish, not 2 hours worth of stuff. And that allows me to then put together an executive summary for my boss, because I have a one-on-one half hour to cover two departments that take care of 3,800 students. I have 30 minutes to give him bullets of the key points he needs to know and things I need help with. Now, the other thing I started that I didn't used to do, I am a people guy. So when we were back in the office, I would go around and check in with people and ask, you know, so-and-so how their weekend was, ask how their kid did in soccer, because I genuinely care about those things. and I would check in with all the students in school and see how their test went. And I was just the guy that would sort of check in with them. I can't do that now. So what I established is I have 13 staff members that work at UNLV in two offices, and I have a one-on-one half-hour call with them. And it's not really a meeting. It's just a check-in where we chat. And they might tell me about struggles with their family or raising a one-year-old while they're trying to do work remote. And we are then able to do that. And then with the students, because they're isolated, international students, you can imagine, in a foreign country. They're here to learn about our culture, but they're now stuck in their apartment. We set up a series of social media Zoom classes where my staff took turns doing different kinds of international cuisine. I have a lady from Greece. She did this phenomenal Greek salad recipe like a TV show. We had a gal from the Ukraine who did baked salmon the way they do it in the Ukraine. And then we had stir fry, and we've had different things. And we've also had just a discussion of some of the compliance issues. And the other thing I did is, this is sort of silly, but when we first went remote, Amy helped me out. We took a little square box and we put together an Easter care package. We went remote in March, and Easter Sunday we mailed out a roll of toilet paper, Easter candy, hand sanitizer, and a handwritten note from me to each of my 13 employees. And they got in the mail a roll of toilet paper, hand sanitizer, and Easter candy. And then later, because this thing took forever, we also sent out an appreciation card with a $15 Uber card for Uber Eats, because everyone was eating in-house, just to let them know that I care about them, and those kinds of things. Now, no one's asked me to ever do that, but I've also did that stuff in the military, where I went out of my way to take care of people and let them know that I'm approachable and I'm here. Now, I get in trouble all the time because I give out my cell phone to everybody. So 1,000 international students and 1,800 vets call me all the time, and I answer them, because that little thing of answering knows that the executive director is making time for them. And if they call me on a weekend, I do return their email and their call real time and say, hey, look, it's Sunday. I don't have any staff here today. I understand your problem, and we're going to get back to you on Monday. But those little things make a difference, especially when people are freaking out and they're remote. But, you know, one of the things that happened this weekend is we drove to the base on 4th of July thinking we could go get some glasses ordered at the PX. And we did not know the base was closed because of COVID-19. And one of the things that was most inspiring is at the front gate with the security forces there, the guards, and they're all armed with, you know, flak vests and weapons, and they check your ID, right? Well, the guy checking IDs was a Fulbright colonel. And he was there because by him pulling duty on 4th of July, that meant that one of his sergeants with a family could be home. And so I'm sure that colonel has a family, but on that holiday, he was leading by example by taking the holiday duty and being very professional to us and answering our questions and letting us know that the base was closed, and he apologized. But it was great to see, you know what I mean? And those kinds of things. And I had leaders like that in my career that you can never pay back. So your goal is to, like, invest in other people, like the two guys who called me to let me know they made lieutenant colonel, which is a rank higher than I left. I left the Army as a major. And I was on the colonel's list, but to see those guys make it is very rewarding, because they were young kids at 18 when I trained them, you know?
That's awesome. So
another technique, or however we're going to say this, another segment, I guess we're calling it the mindset moment. And if you guys are ready, I think I'll do that, and then we'll have some time to talk about it. How's that feel?
Let's do it.
All right, let's do it. So the idea is, where, you know, with leadership and really stepping into what you're ready to step into, knowing that, you know, that things are changing for all of us right now. And I think the good news is we're all getting a reset. So what I want you to do now is everybody – take a nice deep breath in. You close your eyes.
if you feel comfortable. And as you're breathing in beautiful healing energy. And as you're breathing out, you're breathing out anything that doesn't serve you, worry, concern. And you're breathing in positivity. You're breathing in even joy, dare I say. And as you're breathing out, you're releasing, releasing, releasing. So what I want you to do is I want you to imagine yourself in a field of dandelions. And they're all different colors, they're different sizes, they're different shapes. And I want you to say, oh, one really calls to you. So you go over and you pick that dandelion. And you kind of look at it. And what I want you to do is I want you to blow it. And there's all those seedlings going out. Those seedlings, as they're going out, those are all possibilities for you to step into leadership. What are the things that you care about? What do those seedlings represent for you? What projects or people or causes do you feel are really important to you? What is it that you feel is your turn now to step into a leadership role? Could be in your family, could be in your business, could be in the organization that you work for, could be in your church. It doesn't matter. Look at what is being called for you to step into. So I want you to imagine yourself stepping into that role. I want you to imagine that the perfect right leadership step for you is coming available to you and that you're excited about it and it easily happens for you. There's a great deal of change going on in the world. We need amazing leaders, and you're here to take your turn. What is that? What is that next step? Who will you call? Who will you email? Who will you declare in your family that I'm taking responsibility for this area of our family? I will lead in this area. And on top of that, who is going to support you? Because as a leader, it's really important that you're supporting yourself, but you also have a team of people that support you. So I want you to feel yourself stepping into that leadership role, seeing it, feeling it, hearing it, seeing the people around you that you're leading and that are leading you. It's going to be going back and forth. So I want you to know that you can go back to this field at any time. You can blow on that dandelion any time. And for right now, I want you to take some nice deep breaths. I want you to come back to this space, and I'd love to hear about what happened for you in that mindset moment.
That was great, Amy. Thank you.
I bet.
Well, I would say that what those changes were.
Hey, Ross? Ross? Can you say it one more time? You kind of faded out a little bit.
Yes. Mindset moment.
Yeah, you're still fading out.
Hello?
Okay, that's better.
I'm just saying that a mindset moment that everyone had to react to COVID-19. And navigate a reality. And so they had to have that mindset because they had to come up with new ways to approach how this new reality is with their family, their children, their work, their safety, all those things. And it adds stress. But if you stop and wait a moment, you'll notice that we're all doing it. We're all making
yeah.
it. We're all, it's not perfect.
Yeah.
It's not easy. But we're all doing well, and I remind my team about that all the time. And that's what
yeah.
we focus on.
Well, one thing I love
so
about COVID,
for either
too,
one of you, is there anything that came up for you?
Well, I was going to say the one thing I love about COVID, too, is that, you know, it's kind of allowed us to be messy about it. There's messy inventions, there's messy ways of being able to handle things, and yet it gives people room to be able to be that much more creative for problem solving. That they've got that going on. So for me, it was just beautiful. I mean, I just, it just gave such a possibility of just, I'm like, I was 5 miles out and stuff was growing. So that was good. How about you, Alana?
Alana? I'm sorry, I mute myself. Yes, for me, it was just a lot of joy. It just seemed like there was joy going out, and the thrill of seeing the new growth in others through the leadership that I might bring. You know, I love that.
Good, good. That is awesome. That is awesome. Well, before we get done, I would love for Ross to talk about, it kind of goes right along about the different seeds that go out, and he's got a great hat story that I love for him to a part of the show too.
So envisioning how important that is and keeping you in the game. Yeah, go ahead. Hit it, Ross.
So when I used to train cadets, they're going to be future lieutenants. So they go through a lot of training, a lot of stress, a lot of opportunity to not make it. It's pretty competitive. And so when they would get frustrated, I had all of them sew their lieutenant rank into their hat on the inside. So when they would take their hat off, they could look at their goal of becoming a lieutenant one day, and that all the heartache and challenges they're putting up with and academic turmoil was all designed to get them to graduation to where they would become an officer in the United States Army. And, of course, two of those guys are now lieutenant colonels.
That sounds like it's working. For sure, for sure. And I know Amy and I have talked about vision boards and putting things out there in front of you for, like, future, you know, like planning things for the future and talking to your future self, all that kinds of stuff. And that's really what it is. I mean, to see that and to have that be, you know, however you want to say, you know, the carrot that you're looking at, or just the accomplishment that you know that someday it's going to be on your uniform. That's just so strong a message, and so something that you can really take ownership with. And it's almost like, you know, it comes from the inside to the outside. And boy, is that powerful.
So I want to, you know, this has been a wonderful series. You know, we've done several shows with the theme of adapting to changing times. And so if you want to go back and listen to any of those shows, we've covered it in many different areas. And I'm honored to walk with all of you on this, because it is a change of a dynamic, constant change, and being able to stay in calm, to stay in kindness, and as your leadership opportunities come up, grab them and do them in love.
Yeah, for sure. That's a good segue. So next week we're going to be starting the 5 invitations. You want to talk a little bit about that, Aime?
My dear friend Kristen, out of the blue, had sent me that book a while ago, and it's all about how to be present, how to deal with the grief of change, and with lots of great quotes, lots of great tools. And we're gonna next week go ahead and get the book, The 5 Invitations. And next week we're going to talk about the intro and getting ready, and then we'll do we'll do one of the invitations and then tie it together. And we'll probably, we might slide one in here or there, other things that are current to what's going on in the world, to make sure that we're supporting you as seekers in what you need.
Yeah, and if you look at the back of the book, it talks about how the 5 invitations is a request to show up and be fully present for every aspect of your life. It's a compass in the unknown territory and helps us to wonder and grow in wisdom and love. So like Amy said, I had told her I just got the book, and I just kind of randomly opened it to see what I got. And she's just like, and I said, this page was awesome. She's like, every page is awesome. So just so you know, every page is awesome. Every page is awesome. So you can go off and be embracing that. So it's going
to
be a good conversation for sure. You guys still there? Anyway.
Yes,
so
wonderful.
I just want to thank you guys for joining
us.
I'm
so caught up in the awesomeness and excitedness of awesomeness coming.
You got real quiet there. Everybody's like, awesome. into the awesome. Oh, so, yeah, we look forward to that new one. Thank Alana for always being here and helping us out. Go over to our Transformation Cafe Facebook. Community. If you go over to Facebook, mm-hmm. we're over there. And you can just go to the Transformation Cafe on Facebook, and the shows are available over there too. If you want to go ahead and join up, so you guys can go get that. If anybody's interested in talking more about Flower and Synergy, you can go to robin.flowersynergy@gmail.com, and you can go ahead and be booking any kind of readings or any more information about that for any kind of talks and things like that I have available as well. So we thank you guys for joining us, and we'll see you next time
thank
here
you.
At the cafe. Thank you so much.
Awesome.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.